Hey everyone, welcome to The Boundless Show. This is Lisa Anderson. Later on for our inbox, Candace Waters is going to help us out with when your date has been divorced. What specific things do you need to know? For our culture segment, we have author Kathy Lipp. She is a clutter expert and author of the book Clutter Free, how clutter can be keeping you from moving forward in your life. So if you're already convicted by that title, you need to listen to the culture segment. For the roundtable, we have the opportunity to hear from our own Joy Beth Smith, our editor, who is filling in for me because I'm on vacation. And she's going to have a conversation with our panel about living with your parents as a young adult. So good stuff there. And I think she's going to have a fun time with that one. Both the good and the bad. So let me turn it over to JB, and here we go.
Guys, it's JB. I'm filling in for Lisa this week, and I have with us three summer interns. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey. How's it going?
Okay, so why don't we go around and you guys introduce yourself. We've got...
I'm Jason Darren.
I'm Julia Hood.
And I'm Heidi Gerstenkorn.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being with us this week. And we are talking about a new NPR article that came out that's talking about how 32% of people aged 18 to 32 have retreated and now live at home. So we're gonna be talking about that statistic, how much it scares us, how much we don't want that to be us, but it might statistically be us. One out of four. I mean, that's one of us. And so then how it affects like marrying and all the other stuff that we actually care about. So yeah. What did you guys think when you were reading this article? You're all in college.
We are. Mm-hmm.
And so what were your thoughts going into it as I'm gonna graduate and...
Yeah, I am graduating in a year from now, and so this article is a little terrifying because I personally do not want to be dependent on my parents when I graduate, because just maybe me being a guy, I have to be independent and everything. I want to show my parents that school actually paid off for them, and just finding a job that would cause me to be independent.
I think that now in college, people are wanting to be more independent. And so after college, they're wanting to go and travel for a year and take off. And so when you think logically, maybe about the financial reasons why you would want to live at home to pay off student loans and things like that, you think about it logically, but then you have to also think about your independence and, oh, do I really want to be dependent on my parents and around the same people that I was in high school? Because it kind of brings that down to the, oh, I'm still kind of depending on my parents for everything. But when you think about it, it's free lodging. It's free, you know, meals and whatnot.
It's a practical thing.
Yeah, it's logical because you have so much to pay off. But also you have to think about, oh, am I meeting the people that maybe I could be, you know, if I was in a real, you know, like, other place where I could be traveling and doing what I want. So
do any of you have have you had to move back home, or do you have a sibling or something that's moved back home?
Yeah, I could totally relate. My brother, he graduated, I think like 2 years ago. He got his undergrad in psychology, and I think he just moved back home kind of not knowing where he wanted to go with it, not really having a job lined up. He's actually doing marketing right now, so he seems happy. He's traveling and doing all kinds of stuff, but he's living at home, and he's 24, and I guess he just seems kind of like in a position where he's not really moving forward and doesn't really know what to do, and I think he's just kind of stuck. But he's also saving a lot of money, and I know he wants to be financially stable. And he's had a girlfriend for probably over 4 years, so they might get married soon. So he wants to be ready for the next big step in his life. So I think like that's a big factor why adults or young adults are staying and moving back in. So
yeah, I had actually a sister who, after college, she had a job right away, but still she wanted to think about her future. So she stayed living at home with my parents just to save money, although she didn't know what she was doing with her life, but she still wanted that option of saving money.
So it doesn't always indicate like a lack of purpose or a lack of, you know,
I think that's key.
A career path or something.
Exactly.
So let's do pros and cons. So what are some, I think the pros are pretty clear as to why we would stay home or why you would move back home or whatever. You get to save money and pay off student loans, which are ridiculous. What else? What are other pros?
Oh boy.
Spending time with your family?
Yes, spending time with mom and dad.
That's a huge pro.
I think that you can also, if you're in like a bigger city, you can maybe focus more professionally because that's pretty much all you're doing. You might, you know, you might have a like girlfriend like your brother does. So you also might have that on the side. But also I feel like you're more focused on that versus starting a family. Some people after college, they're not going to move home. You know, they're going to get married. And so this is just a time maybe to work on yourself. Even if you're at home, you still, you know, you're dependent on your parents, but also you can be independent at the same time.
Yeah. And I think that there's like a comfort level of living, like what you can afford by yourself in an entry level job at 22 is not fabulous.
Yeah.
And so then maybe you end up with roommates who are gross and only shower once a week, or you can like live at home in your parents' basement and have your own entrance and it's like your own apartment, or that's what people say. You
yes,
know?
Yes.
So I feel like there is a level where you're like, I'm just more comfortable this lifestyle that I'm used to, you know?
Yeah, I would totally agree.
So what are some cons of moving back home?
Well, you definitely don't have the independence you once had when you were away at college, because you get so used to, oh, I don't have to tell my parents where I'm going. I'm just going out with my friends or whatever. And then you get back home and you're like, mom is like, oh, what time are you going to be home?
Yeah.
And that's just...
Have you sensed that already? Like, just on breaks? Maybe?
Yeah, just on break. I mean, I don't mean that it's, like, a big factor, but, like, it just is like, oh, yeah, I should tell my parents what time I'm going
to
be home.
For 4 years, I've only been responsible
to me. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that would be a con, is just having to get used to that again and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm from a small town, and so, I don't know, I feel like maybe coming home, it just might be kind of strange because you're back in your high school town, and you almost just feel like, oh, what am I doing here?
Like you're regressing.
But also, yeah, also you have to understand, also it's kind of a agreement with your parents that you have to decide, okay, how are the rules going to go now that you're old and grown, you know, how are we going to set these boundaries without treating you like a high schooler?
Yeah, I think it's like it is not necessarily regressing in life, but sometimes it might feel like that because you were independent, but now you're coming back home and it might feel like a step backwards. But we have to keep in mind that in the long term you are saving money and stuff like that. So there's a lot to take into factor.
Yeah, and my parents definitely have, like, they put up a boundary with my brother, Jared, and they just give him the space he needs, like, but there's moments where he'll, like, stay up past however hour, and my mom will just be like, hey, go to bed, and he kind of, like, butts her back and forth about that, but I think, like, as you get older, parents will kind of see that you're an adult now, you're independent, and they, although they're living at home, they, like Julia said, need to put up boundaries and stuff. So I think that's definitely important to have, like, a healthy relationship if you're going to move back in or something.
Okay, so we keep talking about, like, independence and especially financial independence. Two questions. One, how are we going to define that for people who are, like, you know, I feel like we're all defining it maybe different ways in our head. So financially independent, what does that mean to you? And do you think that maybe as a culture, or especially, like, as a young adult generation who, like, we're trying to prove ourselves, have we idolized this idea of financial independence at all?
I think that for me, in college, it's really taught me a lot of lessons about how to be financially independent when my parents, you know, want to pay for something, and I say, no, you know, like, this is my, you know, car, this is my groceries that I'm going to be eating. So you just almost have to, like, put your foot down and understand that, yeah, your parents want to help you, but also you have to also provide for yourself. And I think being home and being financially independent would look a lot different because, you know, you're staying at home and it's free rent, but also just respecting them and their money and, you know, what they're giving you respectfully. I mean, it's okay, you know, I think to take, you know, what they want to give you, because that's also another form of love that they want to show you by giving things.
I will take every Starbucks gift card that my dad sends my way.
Yeah, and so I think that's okay, but there's also an extent where you have to, you know, make an agreement with them about, this is my life, and, you know, 10 years from now, like, I'm not going to have you, so I might as well start now. Maybe that'll be smaller steps, but also I think, you know, you might as well start now if you can, and if you can't afford it, then I think just providing for yourself in little ways is important.
So, like, giving up maybe a little bit of independence now makes you able to be better independent later.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about this idea of idolizing financial stability or financial independence?
Yeah, I think just because we live, our society is such an individualistic society that a lot of times we do think if you're not dependent, if you're dependent upon other people, you're not as good as people who are just dependent upon themselves. I don't necessarily think that's the way we should think, because necessarily, I mean, we shouldn't take advantage of others, but if somebody is willing to help us and when we are in a time of need, such as our parents offering to help us, we should thank them for that. But at the same time, we shouldn't abuse that in any respect.
And I think there's definitely a lot more college kids, especially in like our generation, that are completely financially stable. They're paying for all their loans as they go. They're paying for their car, their food, everything. And that's kind of crazy how it's working out for them. But at the same time, like, people who have parents that pay for everything, like, it can go either way. Like, I don't know, but I would consider being completely financially stable, like, not asking for anything from your parents or anything. So
wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I like dream of that day. I'm 27 and I'm still like, dad, a little bit of gas money, no, okay. So what is it when we are talking about this seeming regression of moving back home after college and it kind of delaying all of these different things? Delayed marriage is one of the things that they've linked to that. Like, you move back home, you're getting married later instead of just mm-hmm. jumping into a marriage at 22 when you graduate. So this delayed marrying trend.
Yeah.
That's a little scary for me. As 27 and single, I'm like, I would wish that that wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
but what are our thoughts on it? And, you know, does a delayed marriage make for a wiser marriage? It's definitely probably going to be more financially stable at this mm-hmm. point, because we're paying off student loans yeah. and everyone's getting jobs.
Yeah. I my input on that is, I've been told a lot of times by spiritual mentors and such that you should be debt free or have a good money financially, in a good financial place when you do get married. So I think delaying it is sometimes wise, because you don't want to get in fights with your wife about debt and all this money that is being money that's getting added up that you don't know how to handle. And it's just safer, I think, if you do have a good handle on your finances before you do get married. But I'm not saying that if you are in huge amount of debt, you shouldn't get married.
Right.
But it's just wiser.
And it's harder, too, with the need for master's degrees and yeah. all of that, like, picking up steam. And so it's like, you have to get a master's degree. That's another 20K at least, you mm-hmm. know? And so all of a sudden, you're not a little bit in debt and you can pay it off in a couple of years. You're a lot in debt. And so, like, should we be basing a marriage decision, you know?
Yeah.
Does it change your idea of prospects if you know a guy has a couple K racked up in debt? Is that going to... It is?
Not necessarily. I think it depends on the person and also just the time in their life. I think that if they're at the point, you know, that they've been dating a while and they're thinking about it, but they both have student loans, those aren't going to go away, you know, at any time. So if they know they want to be with each other, then by all means, you know, like, get married and, you know, start paying them off as soon as you can together. But also, if you are living at home and you're in that same situation, I think that it really goes the same way, because either way, you're going to be working, you're going to be, you know, like, with that person no matter what. And I just think that maybe it's the situation of, you know, like, buying a place with that person after you're married, because that takes on some more, like, toll. But if it's, you know, like, God's, like, plan for you and you just feel like it's the right time and it's time to, you know, put a ring on it, then by all means do that. Like, don't let that stop you, because it's going to be there no matter what, that debt. So
I know
that's kind of my thoughts.
I know at my school we have the motto, ring by spring.
Yes.
So. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Christian schools.
Yes.
And usually those rings are not deterred based on debt.
Not at all.
Exactly.
Okay, so as college students, are you guys working during the school year? And then how much of a strain or stressor is finances on you right now?
I'm not personally working during the school year. I work during the summers.
Like this.
but usually get paid. And so then that causes me throughout the semester to have to budget my money wisely
yeah.
to make it last, but.
And then how much does that, like, what does budgeting look like for you? And how much, does it stress you out? Are you good with money?
I would say I would have a good grasp of budgeting. I'm not a wild spender or anything. But I know girls might be otherwise.
Yeah, I'm a wild spender.
We love our shoes.
Yeah, but I think that, I mean, I do have to plan it out ahead of time. And just like we're talking about, whether that is like delaying, like people are delaying their marriage because they're planning out ahead of time. That just in this season of my life is planning out my budget in a semester. So,
yeah, for me, my parents have been really good about kind of, you know, giving me my own independence from the beginning. You know, like just with living in college, I do have a part-time job. I'm a barista. And so I have to try to juggle, you know, 15 credit hours and also a job and just social life and schoolwork on top of that. And so it's been a challenge, but it also has been really good with making sure I'm disciplined and, you know, having the right priorities first. And so, and learning to say no, that's huge,
yeah.
You know, not over committing yourself. But with my money, I think that's really taught me a huge lesson about how to be independent with my money and, you know, realize that working like for my own money, it just makes it so much like more value to me because, you know, like I bought my own car, you know, like this isn't something that's been handed to me. I worked hard for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's really taught me a lot. And just I've been blessed, you know, with scholarships and stuff from school. So that's been great. But also, you know, real life is going to kick in soon where I have to start paying off those loans that weren't covered. And so that's really taught me a lot. But I think that I have been prepared just through my parents' influence on my life, how to, you know, handle those budgeting and situations and all those bills that I'll have in the future.
I think college was really good for me because it was kind of like a training ground. I mean, I'm sure I overdrew my account. Maybe 15 times. It is outrageous the number of times I overdrew, but that's because I was still learning, you know, yeah. And it was sort of like play money to me. Like I didn't really understand. And then all of a sudden you like look one day and you're like $150 in the negative. That was a true story. And so it's really hard. But I feel like college was like a good training ground where I was like making a ton of mistakes with money, but I was learning each and every time, you know, for the most part. But now that I'm an adult, I have already, like, I went through that stress. Money was super stressful for me in college because you have, like, a small amount and it's got to stretch a long way. And sometimes yeah. that means mm-hmm. ramen and sometimes yeah. you splurge and buy shoes and probably shouldn't have. It's okay.
Yeah.
But I think that experience was really good for me because then coming out of college, I've actually been so much better about my money.
Yeah.
But you do have to kind of make those mistakes, you know. And so I wonder if people moving back home, if it's, like, too much of a safety net sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like if it's catching them when they might should fall.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, if you don't exactly have them. Well, also, you know, it's financially, you know, like reasonable to move home. And so I think that people, you know, when they're like, oh, well, maybe I can't afford an apartment. And I'm just really thinking about my past 3 years. I haven't spent my money wisely and saved up for this time in my life. Mm-hmm. And so they will move back home for that reason. And so that's, you know, it's a big comfort zone to be back at home. But also, you know, if it's what you have to do and if you've, you know, made mistakes that led to that point, then that's just the best, you know, thing to do at that point.
Yeah, and I think you should definitely set goals for yourself. Like, let's say you have to move back for financial reasons. So, like, set, like, 12 months aside to be saving up for that and plan where do you want to go, what kind of job do you want to have, what do you want to have lined up in the next 2 years, 3 years. And I think just setting those goals will help you, like, plan everything out for your future so you're not kind of sitting
yeah.
stuck in, like, confused as to why you're still there.
Yeah, like where you
not
are.
Being too comfortable in that safety net like you talked about.
Okay, so. Does anyone have any like best practices, like really great advice that you were given for money?
Well, my parents are really particular about money, and so they always said, well, first to tithe, you know, tithe uh-huh. 10%, but then also my dad is really big about saving, and so he would always say, you know, every paycheck you get, save, you know, 40% of it, and then put the other, you know, like 50% towards, you know, whatever you want, but also that money that you want, split it up into categories, you know, like, oh, my entertainment, you know, maybe my gas
clothing,
money, groceries.
Yeah.
Yeah, that way you aren't like, oh, I have all this money and I'm going to spend it all at once. You know, you're like, all right, I have this to buy, so I'm going to make sure that I have it ready. And one thing, a struggle for me has been like emergencies because like my car's
yeah.
broken down several times and I'm like, where does this money come from?
Yeah.
So that's where I really had to like kind of rely on my parents, but also just having those other things in line helped with that. So I wasn't as stressed. So
yeah.
just kind of budgeting very like tightly with everything that you know you're going to buy, like clothes and stuff like that is super important.
And budgeting, for me, I had to learn that it's not just like, is there enough money in the account right now to buy this? Mm-hmm. You know, like budgeting is actually like dividing it out, you know? Yeah. And I know that a lot of people use the envelope system, which is where you put cash in an entertainment envelope and a food envelope and all of those things. I couldn't do that.
Nope.
That's way too much work. But I do appreciate the idea. And there are a couple of things online, like Mint.com has a has an app that where it can like show you how you're spending your money. And I did that once. And I mean, like 60% of my money was going to movie theaters. Mm. And that's when I was like, I don't love this app. But it was really useful for me to see, like, I'm clearly like my entertainment budget should be a little bit bigger and I care a little less about shoes or whatever. So, well, this was awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you. I appreciate you being here.
It was fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.